Good morning, everyone. How are you all going? Good. John and Jan, how are you? Good to see you. Good to see everyone. Keddy, I want to pray for you afterwards that God would just heal you and set you free. So it's good to be in church, as always, and to be here in C3 Kwinana, because this is the place that, you know, you want to belong to. This is a place where you belong, and then you are planted. The good thing about being planted, as you can see, that vine there, is once you are planted in good soil, you can expect to produce some fruit. We went to a place where they had some grapes yesterday, and so I ended up helping myself to some that looked exactly like that, and they were very nice, you know. And so fruit is an important element of our life, and as Christian people, it's something that there is an expectation of the Lord that we are producing fruit in our lives, because when we do that, it brings great glory to God himself. Amen. So if you desire to fulfill the plans and purposes of God for your life, regardless of your age, the fact that you are alive would tell me that you can still fulfill the plans and purposes for God for your life. And if that's what you desire, it's not going to be by hocus pocus, abracadabra, where you're just trying to feel yourself, okay, I'm just going to fulfill the plans and I'm just going to, you know, just do it without great intention. You are going to have to seek divine direction. And that comes from the scriptures, and it comes from hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. If we want divine direction for our lives, you hear the scriptures and you hear the voice of the Lord. Many years ago now, 1999, I was in, I was in South Australia. And then I went to Melbourne to visit, and I caught up with another a man that I knew. And he said, oh, now that you're here, it's great. At our church, we have a marriage seminar. Why don't you go? And I said, what's the point? I'm not married. Why would I go? And he said, but one day you will be married. This is why I think that we seek divine direction. Not just because of, regardless of what your age is, and you think, oh, let me switch off. No, this is the time where you dial in and lean into what God wants to say in your life and learn the things that are going to help you for tomorrow. I want to encourage us this morning that we should be ministering from who we are as people. That we are going to be those that we get direction from the scriptures, we hear the voice of the Spirit, and we move. The key for us being able to fulfill the plans and purposes of God for our life is that we have to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. We have to be obedient to going and following Jesus. Go and follow. I need to be obedient to those two things. When the Lord says go, and when the Lord says follow me. As Kingdom Catalysts, as we've said this year, we're all going to be Kingdom Catalysts. We have contentment in obscurity, which means that there might be things that we do that will never be seen by people. And you have to be happy that, you know what, it doesn't matter if these things that I'm doing are not seen, because what I do know is that I am obedient to what God has for me. You are only going to be held responsible for the things that you've been asked to do. You will not be held responsible for things that you have not been asked to do. So, follow through when you hear the voice of the Lord leading you and directing you. All of us need a dose. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us, we will understand that it's the Holy Spirit speaking, and therefore we will begin to follow his instruction. If we are going to lead just successful lives, lives where we're looking after our families, we're doing well at work, We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what it's like, what I'm going to encourage you is, just as you, nowadays, of course, normally when we get into our car, there's CarPlay, and then there's, that other, CarPlay, and what's the other one? Yeah, so that's it. You just get in, and it links to your phone. But back in the day, there used to be, even now, when you go in, you have to tune the radio. If you want to catch 96.5, you have to, you know, back in the day, there used to be the dial that you used to use, and you keep doing this up until you get the frequency. We have to understand and learn to hear the voice of God, so that when He speaks to you, you will know that it is God that is clearly speaking to you. There's lots of mothers in here, lots of aunts, grandparents, grandmothers. They can remember that when the, even if they're amongst 20 or 30 kids, when their kid starts to cry, they will know that that is mine. Amongst all that noise, somehow they are modulated to the frequency of their child, that they would understand that, oh my goodness, that is Mandla crying. You know, and so they would know, oh, my baby's crying, and I got to go and tend to them. This is what happens when we're tuned into the frequency of God for our lives. We're tuned into the Holy Spirit so that when He speaks to you, guess what you do? You're able to listen and you're able to hear clearly, and then you take the steps that God has for you. All of us have been given a kingdom assignment. We said we get direction from Scripture. Matthew 26 verse 18 says, in fact, verse 16 says, the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The question I have for all of us this morning is that, who are we discipling in our lives? Who is it that you are discipling? Because the clear instruction is about making disciples. So the question I have for you is that, are you making disciples? Are we making disciples? Because that's the clear instruction. This word going, go, is a continuous thing, meaning that going, wherever we go, while we are going, we are to make disciples of the nations, of all the nations. This is the clear command that is given in this scripture. Make disciples. So no matter where we are, we should be witnesses for Christ, and we should be seeking to win other people to Him. That means that you are constantly looking out. Who is it that I can talk to about the Lord? Who is it that I can encourage, that I can teach them, that I can make a disciple, that I can teach them? This is the mandate for all of us, called the Great Commission. This is the divine instruction we've been given. One thing that struck me this week when I've read this Matthew 28 many times, but this time when I read it, it said, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. If I'm going to do anything, I need to make sure that I am following the instructions of the Lord. Not my own thinking, but the instructions of the Lord. I need to follow Jesus. Because remember, if I want to be successful, if I want to bear much fruit, then I need to follow the direction that the Lord is taking me in. Because remember, He says to the disciples, He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So your job is to follow the Lord, and he will make you fishers of men. So your individual kingdom assignment is a unique expression of the Great Commission. We are called to make disciples, and we fulfill this calling based on our God-given gifts, our passions, and the situations we find ourselves in. Others are called to preach, teach, lead, create, serve. But in all of this, we are meant to reflect the Christ and advance his kingdom in our spheres of influence. There are just some people that God has put around you. There are others that know the Lord, and there are others that don't know the Lord, but he's put them in your world for a reason, so that you can impact them with the news of the kingdom of God. So your personal assignment fits within the larger mission of God, shaping how you are going to be impacting lives, whether that's in business, at school, at work, in ministry, within your family, or within your community. And so the goal and the key is to seek God's guidance for your life. And so I titled this message this morning, Abide, Transform, and Evangelize. So as we abide in the Lord is going to transform us. And as he's doing that, part of what we're then doing is that we are ministering from who we are, our identities in Christ. And so we are, now, another word for evangelize is just to preach and to tell people about the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. You find that there are some people that say, I'm an evangelist for Apple, you know, the chief evangelist. Everything about Apple, that's what they call each other. That's what sometimes people are called in business. They're there to advance a particular philosophy about their organization. For us, it's expanding the kingdom of God. So in our assignment, we get divine direction from the scriptures. Mark 6 verse 7 says, and he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. Verse 12 then says, so the disciples went out telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God, and they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. This is an instruction that you have, to go out and to tell people about the Lord, to cast out demons in people's lives, the oppression that they face in their lives. If people are sick, you are meant to bring healing to them. This tells me that there is no special class of Christian. Now, we know that in life we are very good at trying to separate people based on class. If you get in an aeroplane, they will say first class, business, premium economy, and economy. So you all know that, you know, they sort you out. In the kingdom of God, we are all the same. That means that if I encounter somebody that is sick, because of the authority of Christ, I can say, hey, I'll pray for healing for you. You are not going to the Lord and say, Lord, do you want me to heal this person? No. Lord, you said that we will pray for people and they shall be healed. And so I take it upon myself. I'll pray for you and you'll be healed. If somebody is oppressed with evil spirits, the Lord said, cast them out. So I know I've got the instruction that I have the authority to cast out evil spirits. And so I walk in it. People that are not with the Lord have an expectation that when they come to people of God, they will get solutions for their lives. If you remember the words of the father whose son was possessed by an evil spirit, he said Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and then he goes and he says, teacher, I brought my son so that you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit, and so this spirit was obviously tormenting the boy, and the father was saying, I came to you for you to sort of like help my boy. But since you weren't there, I asked your disciples to cast out the demon, but they couldn't do it. I want you to listen to the Lord's words and not just think that this is a story that Jesus told more than 2,000 years ago, but he's saying it to you and I today. You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? And then the Lord said, bring the boy to me. And as he brought the boy, he cast out that evil spirit. Jesus is saying to us, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? I have brought you from wherever I brought you from. Surely that should have caused faith to rise up on the inside of you, so that when you encounter problems, you are going to rely on the things that I've done for you. Your faith should have now been built up to the point where you are faced with this problem, you are able to deal with it in Jesus' name. That's all he was saying. And that's what he's saying to us, is that do we run whenever solutions, whenever problems come? Do we then say, you know what, this one is too big, let me call Ghostbusters, eh? No, it's on you, because you have the authority of Jesus. There is certain things, let me tell you this, for all of us, we live in this wonderful country, one of the two greatest countries in the world, Zimbabwe and Australia. Hey, this is a good place to be. And there is, regardless of our varying stages or places in life, this is a very good country. There are some things that money cannot solve, that are going to require the power of God, that are going to require the Spirit of God. And so we need to be those that are able to dial up the power of God and to bring solutions into people's lives. Where people are hurting, it's on us to be able to bring that up. Not to look to somebody else and say, okay, let me call on so-and-so. But it's on you, because you recognize you are taking the authority that Christ has put in your life and say, you know what, I'm standing on the word of God, and this is what we're bringing healing, and we're casting out evil spirits. Amen? So, you get divine direction from Scripture. Then we get divine direction from the Holy Spirit. So where we listen into the voice of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, verse 29, it says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. This is when he was going to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. And so guess the Holy Spirit whispered and said, hey, just go over and beside the carriage. And as he walked over, he heard the eunuch reading from some scripture. And then he said, oh, do you understand what it is that you're reading? And the guy said, how can I understand if nobody explains it to me? And so he goes on to explain. He explained it, and then he said, is there anything stopping me from being baptized? They got to a pool of water, and he was baptized, and he went on his way. And Philip went on his merry way as well. The Lord is going to whisper things in your life. If you have a mother, even as a father, he will whisper things even about your children. And you might think, well, that's a bit odd. You know, why do you want me to pray? You know, why do you want me to pray for this boy or girl's shoes? That's a bit strange, and you might think, oh, I'm not going to do that. That sounds stupid. But if the Lord has told you to pray for the shoes, just pray for the shoes. Because you don't know what it is that the Lord is doing. So the Lord might call, you might get an impression, and somebody's, the memory of someone will come into your mind, and you're like, oh, why am I thinking about that person? Perhaps it may be the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I want you to pray for this person. Sometimes God would put somebody on your mind to give them a call. And sometimes it's good to just follow through and say, hey, how are you going? I just called to say, God bless you. And whatever it is that the Lord wants you to do, just go ahead and do it, even though it sounds silly. This is why the disciples who were seasoned fishermen, they were PhDs in fishing. They knew fishing in and out. And they toiled all night and they couldn't catch fish. Then they met up with the Lord. He used their boat. And then he said, why don't you cast your nets the other side? Then Peter, if you learn and listen to Peter's instructions, he said, Master, we have been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything. And by the way, we know what we're doing. You don't know what you're doing. But he said, nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. And look what happened when he followed through with the instruction of the Lord. The net was too big to catch, to be able to contain all the fish, and they had to call other boats. This is where now the Lord then said to him, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Because he was giving them an illustration that when you live a life that is devoted to me, that abides in me, that listens to me, that follows me, this is what is going to, you will produce a whole lot of fruit in your lives. Amen? So listening in to the Holy Spirit, being guided by him, is going to be very important as we are outworking the assignment that God has given both you and I. So when Jesus commissioned his disciples, he gave them a measure of authority. So now you can go and deliver people in my name. This is why when the police come and they arrest you, they have a warrant. That warrant gives them authority to arrest you. Similarly, if somebody's coming to repossess your goods, I don't think they do that here. Maybe they do. I watch it on TV, so you think it happens all over the place, where maybe you haven't paid off your fridge that you had bought or your car, and they come and repossess your car. They don't just come and say, I'm taking the car. In fact, they do. But normally, they've got authority to do so. We have the authority of the Word of God, and it's on that authority that we move. So even if you've been in business for 200 years or 50 years, or you are very good at your job, whether it's IT, whatever the job is, you might think that, hey, I got all the answers. But if the Lord whispers to you, you need to follow. Because he might know a thing or two about whatever it is, whatever situation you have. You see, we have to get to the point where the way we see ourselves as Christians is different. I have to see myself as somebody that has been called by the Lord. If you read Romans 1 verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 1, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. In 2 Corinthians, it goes on, he constantly introduces himself as an apostle of Christ by the will of God because he understood the mandate that he had for his life. We need to be those that see ourselves for the way God has called each and every one of us. We all need an encounter with the Lord. If we are going to evangelize, we have to do it by encounter. If we are going to be those that abide in the Lord, that transform our lives, that transform by the word, we then evangelize, we need an encounter with God. Because I've seen in the scriptures that whenever people have encountered the Lord, their lives are never the same. Mr. Andrew Baker mentioned in his message about relationship with others, that if our relationship with other people will be influenced by how we allow the characteristics of the Holy Spirit called the fruit to be evident in our lives. This can only happen in our lives if we abide with Jesus. In John 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do produce fruit, so they'll produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. So another word for remain here is abide. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. We know that you cut off a branch, automatically, no more life source is coming through it. So it just withers and dries up, and that's finished. And that's what we use for firewood. But if it's attached to the tree and to the vine, because remember the branch, the trunk of the tree is the one that gets nutrients through its roots. So that means that whatever nutrients it's bringing up, the branches get to enjoy that. This is what happens when we are remaining in the Lord. And it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, and then he goes on to say, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this brings great glory to my Father. So the question you might be asking is, how do I abide? How do I remain in the Lord? You're going to abide in his love, and you're going to abide in his word. There's a continual trust in the truth of Jesus' words and in the certainty of his love. Remember, the Lord promised us, he says, I go to prepare a place where I'm going to in my Father's house, there is, you know. And so I go to prepare a place for you. And the key thing in there, he says, if it were not so, I have told you, there's a surety that we have as we are people that are born again, that love the Lord, that the Lord, we know that as our eyes shut to this reality, they open up to another reality. And we've got a house that's being prepared for us. And so we can, you know, we move with surety that, wow, I'm going to see the Lord. I will be with him one day. We need to allow the word of God to change us so that the fruit of the Spirit may be evident in our lives. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and its lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I wonder, of those, which of those do you sort of like need to dial up in your lives? Is it love? A bit of joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, self-control? These, Paul calls this the fruit of the Spirit. And it's important for us to understand that this is meant to imply a single fruit. This is not a list of 9 separate fruits, but 9 characteristics of the single fruit of the Spirit. And we should expect to see all of these characteristics showing up together as we give God's Spirit control. So one of the key things that we know is that Paul began with love, because all of the other fruit are an outgrowth of love. Love, joy, and peace. When a person lives in the sphere of love, then they experience joy, that inward peace and sufficiency that is not affected by circumstances. Love and joy together produce peace. The next 3 are, when we look at that as an aspect of the Christian life, those are manward things: long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Long-suffering is courageous endurance without quitting. Gentleness is kindness. Goodness is love in action. If we are long-suffering, we will not avenge ourselves or wish difficulties on those people that oppose us. We will be kind and gentle, even with the most offensive people that we're dealing with. We will sow goodness where others sow evil. Human nature by itself cannot produce this. It's only the Holy Spirit that can. Because me being a human being, I am prone to desiring vengeance for those that have hurt me. So if somebody punches me, you know sure well that they're probably going to get a punch or two back from me. That's just me. But that's not the way I'm supposed to act, though. I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. Eh? By itself, that's not easy to do. It requires the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because you see, as it was once said, that when they go low, we go high. So when people say nasty things about you, instead of retaliating with nasty, you bless them. But normally my natural inclination is that when people go low, guess where I'm going? I'm going lower. That's not the way it should be. So, and the last three, faith, meekness, and temperance, which is self-control. These are the selfward aspect of the Christian life. Meekness is not weakness. The meek Christian does not throw their weight around or assert themselves. So when we are abiding in the Lord, the way that we live our lives as the fruit of the Spirit becomes more evident is, a story was told at our church in Wollongong in 2005. A guy came to visit, and there was a man that used to work in a warehouse, and he was a self-confessed Christian. I'm a Christian, I follow the Lord, yay, great. But the way that he lived his life was contrary to what you would expect of a Christian. So yes, I'm a Christian in word, but not in deed. And so now, he had to speak to somebody in the warehouse about the Lord and say to somebody, hey, so-and-so, you need to stop doing this, or my encouragement is this. But he said he couldn't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ to this individual. And the words that he used were, my life silenced my lips. Let's not allow the way we live to contradict or diminish the truth we speak. Our actions should align with our words so that our lives amplify rather than silence the message of faith, hope, and truth. We have to surrender control to the Holy Spirit and allow him to touch those, there's some sensitive spots in our lives. You know, just like we all know in our families, there were special pots, there were special knives and plates that were only reserved when the really good people came to visit. Perhaps there are certain things in our lives that are like that, that we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to visit and touch in our lives. So the question I have for us this morning, are there areas in your life that are not in the purview of the Holy Spirit? We need to be able to release control to the Holy Spirit and allow him to reach and heal the deeply sensitive areas of my life. So, any area untouched by God's light will hinder your growth. If you don't open them up to the Lord, it's going to stymie your growth. And guess what? You're not going to be fruitful. And as a result of that, you know, the fruit that you'll produce, you won't produce much fruit. So when we abide in Jesus, we are transformed. And it's from that place that we can then begin to evangelize and spread the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our ministry should flow from the depths of who we are. our lives and our words and our actions should consistently reflect the love of God and the truth of the gospel, regardless of whatever setting we are, whether we're at school, we're at work, at the shops, we're engaging with strangers. We are living authentically as children of God. We don't manufacture being a Christian. I don't sort of like say, okay, it's time for me to put on my evangelizing hat. No. That's who I operate with that all the time. I'm on. I'm consistently plugged into the power circuit, and the power of God is flowing through us. So no matter where you go, you encounter a problem, you bring the word of God. You bring, and it's not your authority, it's the authority of Jesus Christ, that you would say, hey, let me open, let me heal, let me set free. Just like you guys, we are all used to people exercising their authority over us. The police will stop you because they've got the authority that they've been given. I'm asking for all of us is that when we minister, let's see ourselves as ministers. Let's see ourselves wherever we go that we have the power of God available, that we can use that to assist other people. Amen? Why don't we stand this morning? So as we finish up, my encouragement is that we minister from who we are, no matter where we are. If the Lord gives you an instruction to go somewhere, you've listened to the voice of God, no matter how silly it sounds, I'm encouraging you to just take that step of faith and just be obedient to what the Lord, to the instruction that the Lord has given you. And so this morning, I just want to pray as we do every Sunday, just to for those that have never given their lives to the Lord. And this is an important part of our service. And it's an invitation to just pray this prayer, saying, Lord, I ask you, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me. And Lord, I receive your forgiveness and I repent of my sins and I'll follow you all the days of my life. We don't have to just do this here. You can do this with your friends out there. You can do this where it's not for the people, for the special few. It's for all of us to do it at school, at work, as you are led. Don't just walk into the office and say, right, anybody wants to give their lives to the Lord? You'd be in big trouble for religious harassment. But with lots of wisdom, you do all that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me on the cross. Lord, I repent of my sins and accept your forgiveness. And I will walk with you all the days of my life. Amen. So if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, I just want you to raise your hand so that I can see it, and then we'll move on with the next part as the team starts to sing, please. And what I would like to do this morning is that if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, our team will be here to pray for you. But also if you're praying for direction in your life and you're just wanting more of the presence of God, more of the Spirit of God in your life, I want you to just come to the front while the team sings, and then we'll pray for you, and then our service will be over, and then I'll bless you now, and then come for prayer, we will sing, and then we'll gather in the foyer and enjoy each other's company. Father, I thank you for your people this morning. Lord, that you would just bless them as they go, bless their families, Lord God, that they would see themselves as ministers of the gospel, that we are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So God, we give you praise and glory. Bless your people as they go in Jesus' name. So if you want prayer, please come to the front and we'll pray. And Katie, don't go before I pray for you. Yeah.